morning. Welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is Saturday, January the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2023, collect of the day for Kentigern missionary to Strathclyde in Cumbria, 603. Almighty and everlasting God, you called your servant Kentigern to preach the gospel to the Scottish people. Raise up in this land and every land evangelists and heralds of your kingdom, that your church may proclaim the unsearchable riches of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Welcome back. I've got a hot buttery rum flavored coffee. It's going down quite nicely. Yes, Saturday morning. I was going to actually do it Friday morning, but I decided to sleep in. Sleeping in at this age means sleeping till 6:30. Had to stay late at work, so I went a little later, meaning I got there at 7:30. Anyway, where are we? We're on question 189 of the Catechism. So we're in the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, which of course, if you're Anglican, you know, discussions about the Eucharist are going to be thrown in here at some point by me as an Anglican, because where else are you going to discuss it? Comes out quite strongly. So let's read through the question and answer, and then we'll read through some church fathers. So, question 189. Having first prayed for God's glory, kingdom, and will, what do you now pray? I pray for my needs and those of my brothers and sisters, for daily provision, pardon for sins, and protection from evil. Question 189. Having prayed first for God's glory, kingdom, and will, what do you now pray? I pray for my needs and those of my brothers and sisters, for daily provision, pardon for sins, and protection from evil. So let's read through the scriptural references. Psalm 25, 16 to 18. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my afflictions and my trouble, and forgive all my sins. Psalm 34, 8 to 10. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. For you have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. For you are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens, you who have done great things, O God, who is like you. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, for you have redeemed, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. Lamentations 2:19. Arise, cry out in the night, at the beginning of the night watches, pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint for hunger at the head of every street. Next is from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. For which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And the next is Philippians, the final verse is Philippians 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, so when I opened this up, I actually was start talking about bread particularly, and that's the next question. Sorry, I've been prepping and my brain was still kind of pondering some of the things I was reading on that and not in the headspace of question 189. So the fourth petition, right? Give us this day our daily bread. 189. Having prayed first for God's glory. So question 189, having prayed first for God's glory, kingdom and will, what do we now pray? So I'm praying for daily bread. We're praying for needs, for my needs, and those of my brothers and sisters, for daily provision. So today, pardon for sins and protection from evil, all of which, of course, very, very important. This reminds me of a clip on making the rounds. I don't know the show that it comes from. But it's basically a little girl complaining about her slice of cake, I think, being not the same size as her brother's, right? That's not fair. And dad says, well, I did that deliberately because life isn't fair. And she complains some more and he says, look, the only reason you should be looking your brother's bowl is to make sure he has enough. And sort of struck me. every now and then some TV show will sort of nail a particular concept without really understanding sort of the deeper truths involved. Knowing whether your brother has enough. Only reason to look in his bowl is to make sure he has enough. Not to compare, but to make sure he has enough. If you have more than enough to share. So, how do we pray? Pray for those needs of our brothers and sisters, for their daily provision. Pardon for sins and protection from evil. So, Lamentations. Rarely do you see Lamentations pulled up as a scriptural reference for something because it's just a little too... I reread Lamentations a few weeks ago, and it was a good reminder that things can be really, really bad, far worse than anything we can think of. And it has been true. I sometimes wonder what it was like to try to live through a great world war or to have been in those places that were just completely and utterly destroyed. From Southeast Asia to other places, you know, history of war and battle, have everything stripped away from you. It would cause you to cry out to the Lord for sure. Now I'm going to, so Lamentations, arise, cry out in the night, the beginning of the night watches. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. So, Thomas Aquinas picks this up as a manner of prayer. So here is Thomas Aquinas, AD 1274. A manner of prayer is here taught. About this, two notations are proposed. First, the manner is taught as to time, as expressed, arise, cry out in the night, that is, from sleep. Cry out, namely, praise the Lord God. Then, in the night, whence time is rather vacant and quiet due to nighttime, also at the beginning of the watches, as vigils or watches within nighttime are so divided so as to guard the watchman over the city. For the Song of Solomon 3:3 declares, the watchmen found me as they went about the city. Now there were four watches during the nighttime. The first watch, Kentucunium, between cockcrowing and the dawn of the day, is when the fire night lamp is extinguished. The second watch is termed intepestum. It refers to the middle of the night. Such time is not opportune for action, for among the ancients, what is timely is a opportunely. The third watch is called the crow, or the song of the cock. Finally, the fourth watch is antehecanum. Sorry, the font's really bad. That is, at the first vigil or watch, or at the beginning of any of the fourth watches. For Isaiah claims, my soul yearns for thee in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks thee. So devotion to one's heart, verse 19 declares, pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Namely, as one's heart liquefies through love and devotion, or if once congealed or frozen. As if once congealed or frozen. As Psalm 42:4 says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul. Moreover, there is another sign of devotion, as verse 19 continues, lift your hands to him. Because as 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I desire then that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. Second, the matter of prayer is viewed as said, for the lives of your children. That is, like to a separation of souls from body, as life itself is concerned. Then verse 19 concludes, at the head of every street. That is, like to the four ways of prayer that concur in one way. For chapter 2:11, Lamentation says, because infants and babes faint in the streets of the city. Here ends the reading. I think, so my thoughts on this, for what they're worth, pointing out that scripture says pray continually. Why? Because there's always something to be praying about. Aren't our lives filled with many difficulties? Our own difficulties, the difficulties of friends, the difficulties of family, the difficulties of people we meet throughout the day, throughout the week, brothers and sisters in Christ, things that you encounter at work, praying for your coworkers, your supervisors, your bosses. There's always something to be praying about. Because would we not want God to intervene in all of these places for the glory of God and for his will to be accomplished? Not my will, Lord, but yours be done. A lot of times we get caught up in wanting things to go our way. It's rather selfish, if you look at it. Of course, we think our way is the best way. I'm pretty sure I'm not alone in that thought about, I think I've thought things through. But I don't know everything. So let us call upon the name of the Lord who does know everything. He does know all the actions. He does know the intentions of the heart. I'd say he knows my own heart better than I do, because I'm tempted to lie to myself to make me feel better about myself about something. Why? Because that's less painful than coming to the reality of the true nature of myself, which is bent and crooked and bent upon itself. Right? I want what's pleasing to me, not necessarily what's pleasing to God. Now, I like to think, now I'm sort of, maybe beating myself up too much, but I mean, there's definitely ways in which we at some points come to realize, oh, this was actually what I wanted, not necessarily what was in the best interest of somebody else. Maybe this is just the time of my life between being young and raising children and now watching my children out of the house. And in some ways, I think seeing my parents more clearly, because I now around the age that I saw my parents when I was young, and this sort of bit locked in my head as those people. So, but here we are always having an opportunity to pray. There's always some time to pray. And if there's not a lot of time, a quick word is good. Lord, help me. Now I'm going to turn to John Chrysostom, because he's looking at Matthew 7:7-11, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it'll be opened to you. So he points out something very, very important about the scripture, something as somebody in my early 50s, having kept a prayer journal for a while, this is absolutely true. So John Chrysostom, however, Jesus did not simply command us to ask, but ask with great concern and concentration. For this is the meaning of the word he used for seek. For those who are seeking put aside everything else from their minds. They become concerned only with the things that they are seeking and pay no attention at all to the circumstances. Even those who are looking for gold or servants that have been lost understand what I am saying. So this is what he meant by seeking. But by knocking, Jesus meant that we approach God with intensity, but by knocking, Jesus meant that we approach God with intensity and passion. Therefore, O mortal, do not give up. Do not show less eagerness for virtue than desire for possessions, for you frequently sought possessions, but did not find them. Nevertheless, although you knew that you could not guarantee that you would find them, you used every means of searching for them. Yet even though in this case you have a promise that you surely will receive, you do not even demonstrate the smallest fraction of that same eagerness. But if we do not receive immediately, do not despair in this way. For it is because of this that Jesus said, knock, to show that even if he does not open the door immediately, we should remain at the door knocking. Here ends the reading. It's from a Gospel of Matthew, a homily. I have found over years that praying for something specific, and sometimes even in the praying, narrowing down what it is I am praying for. Like in the praying, you realize, oh, you don't mean this broad thing, but this very narrow, specific thing, especially if you're praying for somebody very close to you, friends or family, for something to resolve in their life. There is something that is wrong in their lives, and you pray for them, right? You don't. I've had many experiences where people will say, well, I'll be praying for you. Are they actually praying for me, or are they just saying that? And then two, you don't use it as a form of like emotional manipulation. Like, I'm praying for you about that. You know that I'm telling God on you. Like, God doesn't know. But praying for friends or family for very specific things that they might find forgiveness from a relative of theirs that has done them great wrong, or that they might forgive somebody who did them a great wrong, or, you know, whatever the particular case is, those things eventually do occur if you keep knocking, especially in your own immediate life. Asking God to help you with a particular thing eventually will have effect. It may not be the way you anticipated it, because believe you me, learning about humility by God knocking down the door of my work life was not how I anticipated finding it. I thought, you know, there was a way in which I discovered that I had walled off a particular area of my life. That was the work life. I think I've talked about this before. I know I've written about it. So there's this intensity that goes along with the praying, and then sometimes you only realize later that was the thing you were praying for, but it showed up in a way you weren't anticipating. And I love his reference, the repeated to the knock. It's like this intensity, you know, be diligent about praying for those things which are good for the spirit. You pray for material goods when fruit of the spirit is way better for virtue, which is much better than any earthly possession, because we all know we come into the world naked, we leave it naked, right? What you came in with, you go out with. You're leaving it behind for somebody else. And then I'll follow it up with another thing I found from Chrysostom. So, it is comforting to know that the Lord is at hand. Here is a medicine to relieve grief in every bad circumstance and every pain. What is it? To pray and give thanks in everything. He does not wish that a prayer be merely a petition, but a thanksgiving for that what we have received. How can one make petitions for the future without a thankful acknowledgement of past things? So one ought to give thanks for everything, even what seems grievous. This is the mark of one who is truly thankful. Grief comes out of the circumstances with their demands. Thanksgiving comes from a soul that has true insight and a strong affection for God. Here ends the reading. I don't think I can close it any better than that. So pray and give thanks. Is what you have prayed for has come, or is coming, or may not come, and you should be thankful that it didn't come. So let's see. What are the things I say at the end of the podcast? Thank you for listening. feedback, amateuranglican@gmail.com. I also say, if you think you can do this better than I do it, please do so. I would like to see more podcasts on the catechism, more discussion of the catechism, not even necessarily this catechism, any good catechism, any decent catechism. That the state of the church, maybe this has always been so. Maybe there's always a lamentation about the lack of scriptural understanding among Christians. Maybe this is a perennial truth, and that this is the constant battle. As I have said in the process of doing this podcast, that part of the process, part of the reason I did this, or one of the realizations that would happen as I did this, is I am catechizing myself in the process of reading the catechism and purporting to teach it. I'm teaching myself. I'm reading the questions and the answers in the scripture and the church fathers and the homilies and sometimes the 39 articles actually, and seeing and being catechized in truth, right? To be brought to a clearer understanding of faith, of what it is to believe on Christ, to believe on the Lord Jesus, to trust in him, having been baptized and washed, right? To change to a life of virtue from a life of vice, seeing all that which is good and right, just and beautiful in Christ, and striving towards that beautiful thing. Ooh, waxed. Okay, so I said all the things. There is a link in the podcast show notes to buy me a cup of coffee, which functions pretty much like Patreon. I probably should open a Patreon account. I think people know what Patreon is more than buy me a cup of coffee. I just, coffee and catechism, it seemed apropos, right? Anyway, so donations there, you can give pretty much any amount. Would appreciate it. Mostly goes to defray the technical costs of running this, and maybe help fund some future projects if I could divert some of the funds that currently support the technical to other things. So again, thank you for listening. Let's pray for guidance. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may but glorify your holy name, and finally, through your mercy, may obtain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.